Well, last week, you remember, we started our lesson 5 on stewarding our thoughts. And we talked about there are two basic responses to stress and anxiety. What were they? Two basic responses. You have, there you go, you can have a positive or a negative. And a negative is a complaining, anxious, worry, full of fear. And then positive is looking to God's promises. And we'll look there here in just a moment at some of those in detail as God gives us a prescription for peace. And what a blessing God's word is. We think with praise. That was our first point from last week. And who is the object of our praise? Is it our circumstances? No, we could praise the Lord for circumstances, but the object of our praise always is the Lord. Because He changes not. You know, a lot of times we get so focused on things that are constantly changing. But it's time for God's people to really make most of their focus about things that never change. God's Word never changes. God never changes. Heaven never changes. The great 3-in-1, they never change. It is God in Himself and all His attributes never change. My sins that are forgiven for all eternity, that never changes. Those things we got to remember, that's what's going to be our anchor. That's our strong tower. It's the things that don't change. Now, this world around us, boy, things are changing at an incredible rate all around us. And if we focus on those, you can mark it down, there will be a lot of anxiety. But He is the object of our praise. And, of course, we looked at the not only the object of our praise, but the opportunity to praise. It is always. And we make that a habit, always praising the Lord. We talked about that word, if you notice there in verse number 5, we looked at that word moderation. Does somebody remember what that word moderation means, how we define that? Anybody want a moderation? Just a word, maybe a synonym, when it says here in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Somebody want to give it a shot? You can just yell it out. You don't even have to raise your hand. Moderation. All right. We're going to have a quiz. Just kidding. My teachers used to do that. We're going to have a quiz next week. Moderation actually can also mean carry the idea of gentleness. Being under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's not a spirit of panic. So when you think of let your moderation be made known unto all, always remember that is talking about how we are set firm in who the Lord is. And there's a gentleness because of that. There's not a harshness. There's not a panic that is about God's people. Someone said, you could say it like this. Be not ruffled, easily ruffled. That's not moderation. You have a sweet disposition. And this lost world needs to hear that. And not that we don't turn a blind eye, I'll mention that here in a minute. It's important that we are not the people that just kind of, you know, let's just pretend we didn't hear that or see that going on in the world. No, God doesn't expect us to do that. We realize there are wars taking place. There are things that are hurtful, just difficult things. And we have to realize they're there. But while we see those things, we understand that let our moderation, our gentleness, our sweet disposition, let the world know that our God is in control. He is at the helm. And I always like telling that little story. When I was a non-rate in the Coast Guard, they put the non-rates. We had double 4-to-8s. And they put a non-rate on the crow's nest, which is on the very top of the ship. I was on a 210 to do watch. We had to report anything we saw, lights, whatever. And then we had the other non-rate was on the helm. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're out there, especially if the swells are pretty big. Man, that ship's just going back and forth. And he'll give you, he's like, Jennings, all right, maintain your course at 050. And then so you got your magnetic compass right there in front of you. You got the big helm. And, man, sometimes, you know, here you are, 18-year-old kid sitting here steering this 210-foot Coast Guard cutter. And then you're getting off course and like, Jennings! Straighten this ship up, correct left, you know, he'd say correct left 10 degrees rudder. And man, and then the quartermaster who's back there charting, they'll sometimes pick at whoever's on the helm, and they're messing up and saying, Jennings, you got us looking like a crooked creek going down this chart. We're supposed to have a straight line. But you know, I'm sure there was plenty of worry because Jennings was at the helm. But I just want to tell you tonight, spiritually speaking, in your life and my life, Jesus Christ is at the helm. He's in control. He's driving the ship, folks. And there are some rough waters that come, and sometimes you feel like you're the one that's got to be the Savior. You're the one that's got to be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and none of us can ever do any of those three things. God's in control. We need to let that moderation be known unto all men. And that's how we can think with poise, as we rest in His security and His sovereignty. And so let's go to tonight's study. Look at your outline there. This is, again, going back to our text. It's very interesting to me that 5 to 10% of America is suffering from symptoms of major depression. And this is three or four years ago, so I'm sure it's different, probably increased. And at least 25% or more, now listen, 10% would be 330 million Americans. So what's 10% of 330 million? 30 million? Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people, right? That struggle with that. And then 25% suffer from at least once in their lives, just a major depression. In fact, it is reported that depression is one of the most common conditions addressed by primary care physicians. It's very interesting. In fact, it is reported just as a few years ago, $13.5 billion is invested in antidepressant meds annually, just in America. Now, before I continue, there may be some situations where there's a physical cause of that, but mainly, most of the time, we're speaking of anxiety is because as God's people, especially as God's people, we're not appropriating the prescription of peace that God has given us. Taking heed to His Word, trusting in His promises, and yielding ourselves to Him. And let's just make sure that we are following God's pathway, and we are not exempt from stress. That's one thing that God's Word never says, that it is a sin to, get this, to face stressful situations. It's not a sin to go through stressful situations. That's part of the sin curse. That's part of the human life. But it's what we do with the stress is where we get into sinful actions. It's how we cope with the stress of life. And that's where God wants to just help us and empower us. Number one, you're taking notes there. Number one, our thoughts, we think with prayer. Okay? We think with prayer. It says, be careful for nothing. You could switch that around, that word careful, and say, be not full of care. Be not full of care for anything, for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And there are three different Greek words for prayer in this little verse. That's interesting. The word prayer, of course, obviously, speaks of generally, of asking. The word supplication, there is a word for prayer. It's more fervent, more specific. And then with thanksgiving, let your request, those are specific, again, request, you're imploring the Lord for a specific need, let those things be made known unto God. And so that's what we would want. Somebody once said, turn every care into a prayer. Turn every care into a prayer. Let's say that together. Turn every care into a prayer. That's what we want to do. We want to think with prayer all the time. Everything by prayer. Let's pray about it. You know, I believe when the Bible says pray without ceasing, you know what I believe that's talking about? It's simply this. It's having a conversation with God all day long. You may not be using, you know, you're not maybe speaking verbally in a audible voice. You may be just talking in your mind and your head, but it's just having a conversation with God. And, you know, it is important that we form that habit. Letter A here, we need to request without worry. Request without worry. Notice Psalm 56:3 there. What time I am afraid, what does it say, church? I will trust in thee. Someone once said that anxiety is a form of pride. Anxiety is a form of pride in many ways. Why is that? It's because I don't have control. Notice the word I. I don't have control over the circumstance. And therefore, it brings in stress. I can't fix it. I don't have the answer for it. I don't understand it. And I, the focus is there, and it comes back to filling my heart with anxiety. But letter B, request with thanksgiving. As we read here in our scriptures there, it says with thanksgiving. So request with thanksgiving. I like what someone said, worry corrodes our faith, gratitude strengthens it. Worry corrodes our faith, gratitude strengthens it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can give thanks that He is King, He is God, and He is precious, He is good. And our songs should truly exceed our sighs daily. Our songs should exceed our sighing and trusting that God will give a song. Number two here, notice with, we need to not only think with prayer, but we need to think with peace. Peace. Now, I'm going to give this quote. I want you to say it with me after I give it to you. A lot of people automatically assume that peace is the absence of trouble. That's not peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God. You can be in the midst of the storm and be at peace because of God's presence. Letter A there, thinking with peace is a heavenly design. God's peace is a heavenly design to fight against anxiety and worry and fear. Number one, we have peace with God. You notice there, Romans 5:1. And we all know how we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I know Wednesday night, that's your core group of a church, and you know most people are born again, but I just want to tell you, if you're trying to have peace in this life, apart from salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone, it'll never happen. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. And that's where you have peace with God. That's your relationship, because until then you're an enemy and you're at war with God. But then, after you get saved, it is important that we have the peace of God, which is mentioned here in our text in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God. Okay, that's what's going to keep and guard your heart. And notice verse Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he what? Trusteth in thee. I like what one said as well. God's peace is only a promise away. God's peace is only a promise away. God will give you peace through His word and the promises of His word. Letter B, we not only see it as a heavenly design, but as a helpful design. Again, as I mentioned here, it works as a protector. It works as a filter. It works as a guard. It will guard your heart, and it will guard my heart from all that stinking thinking going on in your life and my life. Our thinking can get really stinking sometimes. And it'll pollute our mind, and it always results in some sort of anxiety. It really does. It can truly result in us just getting off track. Now, number three here, we need to think with purity. We need to think with purity. Again, trying to keep our minds pure, that peace is going to help with that. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about this. Listen to this quote. Whatever wrong I suffer, it cannot do me half so much hurt as being angry about it. Meditate on that just a minute. Whatever wrong I suffer, it cannot do me half so much hurt as being angry about it. God wants us to think on those things, as we see in your Bible, in my Bible, verse 8. He gives us a list of ways that we can keep our minds pure in our thinking to avoid anxiety and stress. Not that we avoid it in life, but we avoid it being a stronghold and putting us in bondage. And so we see here, letter A, the description of pure thoughts. This is under number 3. So we think with purity, and letter A is the description of pure thoughts. We've already read that together, but you'll notice there are 6 there. You might underline them as I read them here. You have true. Whatever things are true, that's 1. Honest, that's 2. Just, that's 3. Pure, that's 4. Lovely, that's 5. And of good report, that's 6. And it goes on to tell us that's what we need to be thinking about. That's why we have to be very much careful about what we are putting in our minds daily. All right, does it pass those tests? If you're truly beholding some things, I mean, I've said it from here before, and I'll say it again. We have a TV in our house, and sometimes I wonder if we should. You know, everybody has a thought on that. If you have a conviction against having a TV, I'm happy for you. I envy you many times. But then I enjoy having a TV when we watch a movie as a family or we watch a ball game as a family. I really enjoy that. Just a good family time. But this is something we need to practice, especially parents. We need to practice if it's something we're watching and it doesn't honor the Lord, how to hit that power button and turn it off until that commercial is gone or till a scene is gone, or hit the mute button. And just because... And then there's some things we shouldn't even just let even come through. And because of the thoughts it puts in our mind and the thoughts it can cause. You know, if you struggle with anxiety, Lord knows we shouldn't be watching the news right before we go to bed. That'll make your blood pressure go up and you try to go to sleep and like, oh, mercy. Maybe watch it in the mornings. Well, I don't know about that either, because then you're starting your day off. You could find a time to keep up with the news. But nevertheless, by the way, let me throw a plug in here for a little program called World Watch. Is anybody familiar with World Watch? Okay, World Watch is a news program for kids, and they do an excellent job. Joanna's been using it for homeschooling. They'll watch it in the mornings before or after prayer or whatnot, and after breakfast. And it's about an eight or nine minute long. And they go through and talk about world news, but they keep it kid friendly. But they talk about the conflicts going over. They talked about the Russia-China thing going on in North Korea. They give good stuff, but it's not filled with just the trash and the drama and all that other stuff. And it's a biblical perspective, but it's called World Watch. Okay. Write that down, and maybe that's something you could check out. World Watch News. I think it's on YouTube, but Joanna would have to verify that. But nevertheless, we have the description of pure thoughts. It's the things we are thinking on. Then letter B, the development of pure thoughts. The development of pure thoughts. We have to exercise that. We have to make it a practice of casting down anything that exalts itself, any imagination, any thought, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, as you see in that verse right there under letter B, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's the mind is the battleground. And I'm so thankful the Lord is doing a work here in our church, and I really believe that He's helping us to think the right things. I believe He's teaching us to pray about things. He's teaching us about forgiving people. He's teaching us about just keeping our focus with an eternal perspective, and just really seeking not to let our minds be captivated by temporal, constantly changing things and the things that don't really matter for eternity. We keep our minds fixed. Can I give you this? I feel like it'd be worth repeating almost every service the way it helped me. I had a mentor tell me this. He said, "Brinson, do this. Make this a habit. You ought to write this down, all right?" He said, always, he said, glance at the problem, whatever problem you're dealing with in your life, glance at the problem, gaze at the Savior. Glance at the problem, but gaze at the Savior. And then thirdly, go with the gospel. Go with the gospel. But that idea of not being fixated on all the things that are going wrong in your life, I hope that you will keep your thoughts pure and true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. It is a proven fact that anxiety, scientifically proven, medically proven, whatever you say, but anxiety and stress is horrific for our bodies, especially your heart and especially your arteries. It releases the adrenaline and the what's the C word I'm thinking about? Cortisol. Yeah, that's it. It releases those things and it causes the plaque, and it really is, and they shrivel up, they shrink up, and it causes a lot of problems health-wise. A lot of inflammation, anxiety, it's medically proven, causes inflammation of the body. And so we could say anxiety clogs our arteries, but even worse, it corrodes our thinking. It corrodes our thinking. And those are two physical and spiritual things that we just don't want. And again, we can't avoid stress, can we, church? We just can't. It's a part of life, and bad things are going to happen in some way, probably every day. Something's not going to go your way or my way. And we have a choice to make at that point. Are we going to focus on that, and are we going to let it build up anxiety in my body, in my mind, and really hinder me and corrode my thinking and corrupt my body? Or am I going to look to the Lord and say, "God, I don't understand this. This is a difficult situation. But Lord, I'm going to trust You. And I want those six things, Lord, to be my filter and to be thinking upon You." And one of the ways you can do that is write out verses that really speak to your heart and review those verses. Write them on an index card. Listen to songs that really point you to Christ and point you to the Word of God that are just rich in doctrine. They're not just shallow, feel-good things, but it just really gets your heart set on who God is and what He thinks of you and me. Wow. Those things will help your thinking stay in the right place. And I encourage you to listen to good preaching. I try to give you some good preaching here. I do my best. Pray for me that I can even do better in my study. But I also, that's just 3 days a week. I hope that you'll even listen to some preaching and devotionals on your own to have your heart constantly encouraged. I think that's important. Let's look here in closing. Look at this prayer. I know it's a long paragraph, but let's do it together. We're family, and we'll do our best to stay together. But I think this is really good. Let's read it out loud together. Lord, today I want to praise you because your sacrifice for me is immeasurable and your love for me is unfathomable. I praise you because you are merciful and faithful to me. Today I want to express poise, real moderation, and peaceableness because you are sovereign and you are at hand. With poise, I want to model joy in ministry and family life. Help me not to worry, but to live peaceably. Remind me to place rest and margin on my schedule that I may hear your voice. Today, I want to pray with supplication for your power and filling. I surrender myself, my tendencies, my past, present, and future to you because of the cross. I ask you to help me make this world less to me and for your power to dominate my heart. I thank you for saving me and providing for me. I thank you for a loving family and the privilege to serve you. Today, I pray for the peace that passes all understanding. Give me peace that comes from a proper vision of you and faith in your sovereignty. Help me to sleep well. Today, I want to practice pure thinking, positively meditating on that which is lovely, pure, and true. I ask you to renew my mind today through your word. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, the ultimate aim is not to escape anxiety, but to allow it to usher us into the healing presence of Jesus Christ. And that's what it does when we turn to Him. Let's pray.